A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma, Pei Beis, Yuma 82A, pagination, page 163. Towards the bottom of the page, or actually, let's be accurate, into the wide lines, let's drop down 6 lines to the Mishnah. Ubara shehiricha ma'achilin osa achatoshev nafsha. A pregnant woman that smelled food. So we feed her until she recovers from the experience, from the trauma. What's being described here is not that she's intrinsically weak. Any person who's intrinsically weak can eat on Yom Kippur if it's a danger to life. We're being told of something sophisticated here, that the pregnant woman has a certain vulnerability, that if she has a craving for a certain food, today there are jokes about pickles and pistachio ice cream and whatever else, but this was a very real, tangible concern. And as the Gemara in Amud Beis tells us, it's actually coming from the fetus that has the desire, and it needs to be addressed. The Mishnah continues with a more conventional case. A sick person, you follow the words of the experts. If we don't have experts, you trust him until he says, I ate enough. Clearly, there's no such thing as simply saying that I broke my fast on Yom Kippur, so it's over. On the contrary, the fast exists, and you're going to eat as much as you responsibly need to remain healthy, safe. Tanya Rabbanan, we learned that this Ubara case, the case of a pregnant woman, could apply in the case of Shehiricha Basar Kodesh. She smells food from the Beis HaMikdash, or Basar Chazir, or non-kosher food, Tochven lo kush berotav, you give her a little taste, and it could be that that will solve the problem. If not, you could actually feed her the food, as the Gemara tells us, 4 lines into the Gemara, She'ein lecha dover she'omed b'fnei pikuach nefesh, there is nothing that stands in front of a danger to life, Chutz, except for Avodah Zarah, idol worship, Gilui Arayos, immoral conduct, sexual relations, Ushfichas Damim, and murder. Those are the only 3 in conventional settings. There is an addition to be aware of, the case of Kiddush Hashem, where if a non-Jew purposely comes, I don't know why I say non-Jew. I mean, whatever, that would be the case. A Nazi says, eat this treif meat in front of everyone to demean the Jewish religion. So then that would be a Kiddush Hashem. It could be that we're obligated to give our lives in such a case. But in conventional cases, it's only Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim. Now, it's not hard to envision a case of Avodah Zarah, where a person can save his life. In the time, Rahman al-Itzlan of Shemad, of terrible persecution, you had the examples of Spanish Inquisition, etc., where a person wants to worship idols even without his heart being in it, but so that he can give the impression that he's not Jewish so that he could save his life. And we're being told that if something is true Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to do that. Shvichas Damim, we can also envision that there are cases where some bad people might tell a Jew to go kill somebody. There's a case listed over here in the Gemara on Amud Beis, where a person was told, kill somebody or else we'll kill you. And we're being told that Pikuach Nefesh can knock out everything except for these 3 biggies. It does not knock out Shvichas Damim, and you're not allowed to kill the person to save your own life. This is totally different than the case of a Rotseach. A person's coming at you to hurt you, and you're allowed to act in self-defense. But if you're told by somebody, you know, go kill Smith down the block, or else we'll kill you. We need you to knock him off. So then you're not allowed to do that. The case of Gili Arayus is a little bit harder to envision. In what case will living immorally with a woman, or a woman with another man, how is that going to save someone's life that the Gemara is anticipating such a case, and we're being told you're not allowed to do it even to save your life? What's that case? So I came up with a very cute, tame case. When the Israelis did the Entebbe raid to retrieve the Jewish hostages, so it says, at least in some of the historical notes, it seems to be, whether it's a rumor or actual fact, but the Americans were in on the deal, and they instructed one of their female spies in Uganda to keep Idi Amin, the head of state there, to keep him occupied for the night, because they were worried that he would come visit the hostages just at the time that the rescue mission was happening, and it would throw the whole thing off, because part of the rescue mission was that they impersonated his motorcade in getting into the complex. So they needed to keep him occupied for the night. So here's a case where an immoral relationship, a woman being seductive, if she would be a married woman and got this directive from her handlers, go keep him occupied because it'll save 100 people's lives, is she allowed to do that? And we're being told, married woman acting immorally, or any person with an illicit relation that's of the level of Yehareg Valyava, capital offense, you're not allowed to do it. I don't care how many people's lives are going to be saved. So these are the three biggies: Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayus, and Shfichas Damim. The Gemara tells us that Avodah Zarah is a fairly straightforward pasuk. Why does the pasuk tell us that in Shema that we have to love Hashem with our hearts, with our lives, and with our money? And the Gemara tells us because sometimes there's a person who loves his money more, sometimes there's a person who loves his life more, and we're being told regardless, you have to be willing to give up your money or your life to affirm your allegiance to Hashem. You know, the terrible joke of a guy who says he's late for a meeting because he was mugged on the way in. So they ask him, you know, but what took so long? Guy asked you, money or your life? What takes so long? He said, I had to decide. So that's this Gemara. I had to decide. But in any case, b'chol nafshecha is there that you have to give up your life.
For v'yohafta,
for something that truly goes to the essence of your relationship with Hashem, which the Gemara says is limited to Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mean for anything else. To display, you have to be willing to give up your life doesn't mean if your life depended on a ham sandwich. That's not b'chol nafshecha. But if it's the essence of the ahavta, the essence, which is Avodah Zarah itself, then you would have to be willing to give up your life. Gili Arayus and Shfichas Damim, the immoral conduct and the killing of an innocent person. So let's look at the last line of the Gemara. Ma rotzeach yehoreg va'al yavor, just like murdering somebody, you have to be willing to be killed and not to kill. Afnaimer hama orasa, similarly, a woman who's married, yehorig va'al yavor, she has to be willing to be killed rather than go ahead intentionally and violate. Obviously, if the woman's assaulted, that's a whole different thing because she's not doing anything. But if she would be involved in the act, that would be something that's Yehareg Va'al Yavar. On to Amud Beis. How do we clinch this thought? V'rotzeach gufei minolon. But how do you know that murder is not acceptable to save your life? Svarahi. It's a logic. Dahu da'asa kamei de Rava, because they came in front of Rabba. Omali mori durai. The head of the area told me, Katle leplanya, kill so-and-so, ve'ilo katil nolach, and if not, we will kill you. Don't know what kind of money he owed. Omale niktelach velo siktol. You have to be allowed yourself to be killed and not to kill. Why? Ma choses de dama didach sumak tfei. How do you know that your blood is redder? Dama dama da'u gavra sumak tfei. Maybe his blood is redder. In other words, saving a life is very important, but if it means killing someone else's life in order to save yours, you have no license to do that. One final story over here, going back to our original launching point, which was the pregnant woman who was in danger if she didn't get the food she needed, and we said Pikuach Nefesh trumps all except for the three biggies. So the Gemara says a story, Ahi Ubara de Orcha. There was a woman who was pregnant and she smelled. Asala Kameh de Rebbe, and they asked the Shaila, Amaluhu, and he told them, Zilu Luchushula, go whisper in her ear, De Yoma de Kippurihu, that it's Yom Kippur. Luchushula, they whispered it, Vilchisha, and it worked. So they said the expression, even before I formed you, while you were still in the womb, there was already a love relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you could whisper into the woman's ear, and the child hears, and the child knows, oh, Yom Kippur, forget it, I don't need that food. Nofak mina Rabbi Yechanan, and that fetus turned out to be the great Rabbi Yechanan. Yeshikayach, thank you for joining.